Our text is Habakkuk 2, verse 4. It reads as follows: Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith, the last part of our text, thrills the soul of the child of God, and especially in the last half millennia, every child of the great Protestant Reformation. It is a sort of rallying cry. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2 verse 4 contains too much for one sermon, and so we're going to cover it in both of today's sermons. This morning, the just shall live by his faith. That's our theme. We'll explore this especially from the book of Habakkuk, and indeed we'll look not only at the last part of Habakkuk 2 verse 4, but the whole of the verse. And then when we come to this evening, we'll consider the just shall live by faith, the New Testament, looking at this truth in terms of its quotation and use in the Newer Testament, especially in the epistles of the Apostle Paul. And in that evening sermon, Lord willing, we're going to focus even more on the last and key part of Habakkuk 2, verse 4, which was central in the Apostle's thinking regarding salvation in Jesus Christ. For now then, the just shall live by his faith. The meaning, the reason, and the antithesis, or the opposite of the truth. The just shall live by his faith. Meaning, reason, antithesis. The ungodly man has great difficulty even understanding what Habakkuk is saying in this great statement. Never mind, is accepting it as true. The just shall live by his faith. What could that possibly mean? How can somebody live by faith? There are some who live by wealth, or they aspire to live by wealth. Money is what invigorates and drives a lot of people. And yet Jesus Christ warned against this entire attitude. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesseth. Because some people think that your life consists in a large bank account. And that's how they live. And if you foolishly think that your life is and amounts to an accumulation of as much as you can possibly get in this world, you are actually missing out on life. You are destroying your life and the people close to you. And they might believe, like you do, that your life consists in as much as you can accumulate, which ruins the soul. Other people, they live by success. Success is what motivates and elevates them. Winning is what life is all about. Or even beating other people, that's what makes me feel good. Being top dog. And there are a whole host of ways to go wrong here. Some people live by sport. Some people live by holidays, and the last of those two, there's a limited place for those things, but you don't live by them or live for them. And for other people, it's not so much what is gained from without or outside them, money or acclaim or athleticism or travel. They live by what is within themselves. I live by my intellect, That is their spoken or unspoken creed. I accept as true whatever I can prove by my own thinking and to my own satisfaction. I make up doctrines according to which I live that seem reasonable to me. I'm the master of my own life. But 1 Corinthians 3 says, the wisdom of this world, all of it, from top to bottom, is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, another Old Testament quotation, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Other people are more romantic than rational, and they follow their imagination rather than their intellect. These people are given over to special messages in dreams. They structure their life and do or don't do things according to the nonsense prognosticated by fortune tellers. They get mystical impulses, and then they're off hither, thither, and yon. And the just do not live by their fancies. And there are other people who live by their feelings, which is a sure way to ruin your life. You just do something because you feel like it, irrespective of right or wrong, the consequences, your feelings. In the secular sphere, they look and seek for a high in drink or drugs or maybe even danger. The thrill of it all. Life's boring. We need something to sharpen our senses. And in the religious sphere, these folk are carried away by charismaticism or Pentecostalism or some other form of mysticism. It's how I feel. It's not God says this is true. Change your feelings to accept what he says as the higher authority. Oh, well, that can't be right because it doesn't jive with my spirit. What? And here is the truth that liberates people from the foolishness of this present evil world. The just shall live by faith. There it is. Embrace that one truth, and you're a Christian, and you will live. Life, God says, who knows a thing or two about it, since he's the judge of life and the giver of life, says that people live spiritually and have a life that is worth living and a life that will withstand the scrutiny of the last day. We live spiritually by believing. That is believing, not every Tom, Dick, or Harry, but the truth about the triune God as set forth in Scripture. We live by trusting in him through Jesus Christ. That is life. And Jesus said that. He said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And you have it in him by believing. Fancy that. That's the mystery of the gospel, which the carnal mind cannot understand. And this is the Reformation's biblical definition of true faith in Lord's Day 7 of the Heidelberg Catechism. True faith is one, not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but two, it is also an assured confidence, which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Our text doesn't say the just shall live by faith and something else. The something else is usually works. Man doesn't live by faith and works. And Habakkuk says this as an old Testament prophet, and despite all the ethical commandments and prohibitions in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which laws are to be kept, the moral laws, even in the New Testament, but you don't live by commandments and precepts. He, even as an Old Testament prophet, especially as an Old Testament prophet, understood that people live by faith, not works. They live by faith alone. And here's how we put it together, because it's necessary to put it together so that people are clear on this. We live by faith and out of faith alone. Love is a part, but we live by faith in the sphere of love so that we do good works. We live by faith in the sphere of love so that we do good works. But we live by faith. The preposition is crucial. Not just Habakkuk, but tonight we'll see Pauline, New Testament. And what does it mean for the just to live by faith in the context of Habakkuk? And here we draw on the previous sermons on the series of this eighth minor prophet. The just shall live by faith means you trust in God in the midst, Habakkuk 1 verses 2 through 4, in the midst of the violence and injustice in society, and even here in the wicked apostate church of Judah and the southern kingdom. Habakkuk, live by faith with all the darkness around you and the departure, even in the visible church. Live by faith in that. And keep on, Habakkuk, believing in Jehovah during the cruel and invasion and the butchering of the southern kingdom by the Babylonians when they conquer your land. And don't despair. Live by faith. And then, because many of those who survived that calamity were carted off east as slaves, persevere in faith during the Babylonian captivity, which Jeremiah 25 and 29 said would last some 70 years. And in the midst of all this apparent darkness, cling to the truth about me, the living God, as revealed in the Word, that I will bring justice to my enemies and salvation to my people in my good time. Keep on believing. The just shall, in the future, as well as right now, the just shall live by faith. You, Habakkuk, keep on believing. And all the godly in Judah, trust in me. And that is the way in which you will live through this calamity. And what does it mean, this word of God to us? The just shall live by faith. It means, very simply, that the Christian is to trust in the Lord and live out of that faith every day of his life. When things are going good and the sun is shining, nice day like today, when things in your life are fairly pleasant, and during the bad times too, the good times and the bad times, as the world puts it in that phrase, and you keep on living by faith right to the day you die, the just shall live and pass all of his days by faith. Keep on trusting. Living by faith means you recall Scripture to mind, especially when you hear other voices which say the exact opposite or tell you it's not important. You don't need doctrine. You don't need the Bible. Catch up with the 21st century. That sort of foolishness. Because, you know, they said that in the 19th century and in the 16th century and in the 6th century. Yeah, the Bible's always relevant because it deals with eternal truth about the nature of man and God and the world to come. You recall Scripture to your mind. You embrace that. You feed upon the promises. and you look for the forgiveness of sins and for peace and satisfaction in this world to the crucified and risen Savior, who gives help from heaven as he sees fit in his good will. And living by faith, the just shall live by faith, means we live as Christians in every sphere, in the church and in our homes, in school and in work, and in society and in the state. And the business of the world and the flesh and the devil is to get you to say, I can't live like a Christian here. There's too much pressure for my friends. I will not live by faith here. I will live like everybody else. And then your life or your profession as a Christian crumbles and everything goes and you leave the church. Or you find some liberal church where you feel comfortable. The just shall live by faith means you never doubt the word of God. When the word of God says something, you embrace it and you embrace the consequences. You've got to resist all of the unbelief and lies of the world and our own flesh. For as Paul puts it, let God be true and every man a liar. And that's what he is, because he's totally depraved. The apostle put it like this, we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5. We walk by faith. And the walk refers to our behavior and our life. He's saying what Habakkuk says, we live by faith. Not by what we see around us or by what other voices tell us, we live by faith. And we live by faith, emphasis now on the word live, we live by faith in the midst of death. Our unbelieving world is dying in sin, and now a third of babies that are conceived never even make it out of the womb. What a world of death we live in. And they're trying to kill off the elderly and the people who don't want to live. And that's healthcare. And we live in the midst of death too, even in our own mortal bodies. Especially as they grow old, you feel the pains of death. It's working. The corruption, the fall, in our members and in our minds too. But the just shall live by faith, no matter what's out there, or no matter what happens to me in the body or the mind. And what is it that explains why the just live by faith? Faith alone. What's the reason for this? Well, faith, and it's unique in this regard compared to all the other great virtues and callings, faith looks outside of itself. Faith looks away from itself. It's like the eye, and this image is often used. The eye doesn't see itself. The eye sees everything out there. Well, faith looks outside of self, away from self, and faith is directed to the living God who's revealed in Jesus Christ. Faith looks away from ourselves. And faith then becomes the conduit or the channel through which God grants us his grace and comfort and strength. And it's the only channel that connects God and us by which we receive all the benefits of our salvation. Life, and you understand by now, life in this passage doesn't merely mean physical life in this world. It means spiritual life. It means eternal life. The just shall live with eternal life in his heart through believing. The faith that looks outside itself, the faith that is the channel or conduit through which we receive all the blessings of salvation in Jesus and everlasting life. And there is no other Christian grace or activity that has this crucial role. Now, this life that's received by faith, it manifests itself in various spiritual graces, like love and joy and peace. And where there's faith, there will be love, joy, and peace. And where there's faith, these things flow out of it. And of course, where there isn't faith, the other things wither. And then, this life that is received by faith empowers us to do good works. And by good works, we mean works that are according to God's law, works that are to His glory, works that are done out of gratitude for Christ's cross, works that will not be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble on the judgment day, but works which meet with the divine approval because they were worked in us through the Holy Spirit. The just shall live by faith, looking outside itself as a conduit by which God works grace inside us, which shows itself as fruit. I could make this point also by looking at the two aspects of faith as identified in question 21 of our Heidelberg Catechism, which was read earlier. True faith is a certain knowledge. And Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, through Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So the just shall live by faith, and faith is a spiritual knowledge, and through knowing God through Jesus Christ, that is life eternal. Same conclusion. And then the other aspect or element of faith, it's not only a certain knowledge, but it's an assured confidence. Confidence, another word for that is trust. Trust is reliance upon the Lord through His word. And trust receives strength and support from what it leans on. So when we trust in the Lord, relying and leaning upon Him, He gives us strength and support through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit, because to believe in the truth taught in Scripture is to receive the blessings of Jesus. To believe is to receive. And we believe in the living God, and the living God gives us life. We believe in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose on the third day, and believing that, God gives us eternal life. The just shall live by faith alone. To come at it from another perspective, living by faith is living by God's word. Because faith believes and receives as truth everything in Scripture. And Jesus taught this, so they weren't idle words. Even when He was well nigh starving in the wilderness, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. Man lives by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. That is, man lives spiritually by the word of God. And that's why, in a Christian church, a true Christian church, you have sermons, you have Bible studies, you promote books and pamphlets. And that's why, in a church drifts, you shorten the sermons, you don't read anything, you don't think about doctrine. All that's boring. That's destructive. Jesus says, man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Exact opposite. Living by faith is living by the truth of God's word in your heart. And living by faith is living by Christ. Because what is it that faith lays hold upon, embraces, appropriates, draws upon? It's Jesus Christ. Faith believes in Jesus. Faith believes, sometimes the Bible even uses this preposition, faith believes into Jesus. And this is what Christ taught us in John 6, verse 57. He that eateth me, he's presenting himself as the bread of life, and eating Christ is believing in him. He that eateth me, even he shall live by me. We live by Jesus. So the just shall live by faith is equivalent to saying, The just shall live by faith in God's word. You live by feeding on the scriptures. And the just shall live by faith is not only the same as the just shall live by God's word, it's the same as the just shall live by Christ. Because it is Christ that liveth in me, Galatians 2 verse 20 says. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by Christ. The just shall live by God's word. And the Christian religion teaches that that is life. And the world says, no, it's not. It's playing golf on the Lord's Day, or watching the last round of the Open, or watching the World Cup, and it's the final today. Or it's going away on holiday and spending your Lord's Day on the beach. That's life. No. This is the Bible. This is the Reformation. The just shall live by faith. And if you're deceived and you think, no, that's life, then you miss out on life. And then you stand before God on the last day and God said, you heard a sermon about the just shall live by faith and you didn't believe it. And what does the sermon say? The just shall live by faith. You didn't believe it. Depart from me, ye accursed. I never knew you. That's the rule of faith. Looking outside itself, looking up to the spiritual mysteries taught in the Bible, receiving Jesus Christ, the bread of life, as set forth in the living word of Scripture. And the only place you hear that message is in the church. Because the church gets it, as it gets all its message, if it's worth anything, from the Scriptures. And now we should notice the pronoun in our text. It says that the just shall live by his faith. Which also means, if you're female, of course, the just shall live by her faith. Because the Bible would get tedious if it said, the just shall live by his or her faith. And you repeated that through 66 books of the Bible. And when it says, the just shall live by his faith, the point here is not to divide the praise for salvation between God and the sinner. So God saves me, but I live by my faith. Oh, that's my contribution. It's not either to ascribe the origin or the growth of faith to man's will or efforts or work. The point here with the just shall live by his faith is that faith is immensely and solely individual, personal. Christianity has a corporate, very, very corporate, the congregation, the people of God, the entire Catholic Church or universal body, in all the world and all ages, corporate. But it is also individual. And faith is individual and personal. So there's the group and there's the individual aspects of the Christian faith. And we don't say, well, I'm a believer, so I don't need the church. No, I'm a believer, therefore I need the church. Or I'm in the church, and therefore everybody in the church goes to heaven. No, you're in the church as a body, and you must believe in Jesus. Both together. In the physical sphere, you must eat and drink for yourself. Nobody else eats or drinks for you. Now, if you're in a bad way of going in the hospital, they may put the spoon to your mouth, but you've got to digest it. You say, yeah, but they can feed you by a drip. Yeah, but the drip must go into your own body. But rest with a simple analogy. You've got to eat and drink for yourself. Nobody else does it for you. And you've got to breathe for yourself. Nobody else breathes for you. In the spiritual sphere, in our souls, every child of God lives by his or her own faith. You don't live by the faith of your parents or your grandparents. You don't live by the faith of your friends. The faith in your own heart, given to you by God. And you live enjoy spiritual life with the Holy Triune God by the faith that is in you and not by the faith in someone else. Now, if someone else has a strong faith and they encourage you to believe or support you when you need help, that's one thing. But even then, it's still the faith in your own heart. And this brings us to the remaining part of our text, which deals with the antithesis or the opposite of faith. If we were not to think of Habakkuk 2 for a moment, and I were to ask you, what's the antithesis or opposite of faith? You would say unbelief, doubt. It's disbelieving and rejecting God's truth in the scripture that centers in Jesus Christ crucified and risen. Faith has its opposite in unbelief. But what does it say in our text? And by the way, the text isn't denying that point. In our text, the antithesis or opposite of faith is pride. Habakkuk 2 verse 4, behold, his soul, which is lifted up in pride and arrogance, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. There's the context. There's the contrast. The just lives by his faith, but then there's the proud person. The opposite of faith here is pride. Then you say, but no, that doesn't really sound right. Because the opposite of pride is humility, not faith. And here we need to make a distinction between opposites. There are verbal opposites, antonyms. The verbal opposite of faith is unbelief. The verbal opposite of pride is humility. But besides verbal opposites, the main one that we think of, understandably, there are also things that are antithetical or opposites as ideas. There are, you can think about two things that are totally inconsistent, that don't fit together. They may not, and in this instance they are not, verbal opposites, but they are ideological opposites. Communism and Christianity. They're just ideological. They're not compatible. Well, faith and pride are not compatible at all. Of course, that needs some explanation. Man's pride and faith have the same location, namely the human soul or heart. That's where pride is based. That's where you look for it, its location. Habakkuk 2 verse 4, surely his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. So it's the soul that is arrogant. It shows itself in a proud look or arrogant behavior, but the seat or location of pride is the soul or heart. And with regard to faith, Romans 10 verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confession with the mouth, and shalt believe in thine heart, faith is in the heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then comes the explanation, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So one or other controls the heart or the soul. But the unregenerate, by definition, it is pride in various forms. And with the regenerate, it is faith according to the new man. There's always the old man filled to the gills with unbelief and the old man proud too. That's the battle for us. And now consider the focus of the soul and the heart attitude of pride as compared to that of faith. Pride is directed towards oneself and one's own achievements. Or, if pride thinks more collectively, it's the group. The group has done great things and I'm part of the group and therefore I can be proud of that. I am a great one. Or, and this is especially the religious aspect of it, even if I'm a more humble sort of proud person, I don't need a salvation that is 100% of God. Because that's the pride aspect that's key here. Whereas faith isn't directed towards oneself. Faith looks out, just as your eye looks outward. It's directed to God, who shines in the face of Jesus Christ and is clothed in the promises of Scripture. And faith sees God, the Holy One of Israel. And faith doesn't say, well, I am great. Faith says, I am a sinner. That is the fundamental truth about me. I am a sinner who lives in the sight of God every day, and one day I will give an account for every deed done in the body. And I, knowing myself as a sinner through the Scriptures, need salvation. And the only salvation that's any good to me as a sinner is one that is all of God and holy by grace. See the difference? The humble are acutely aware of their lost condition by nature, and so look up to the Lord and trust. And the proud, he's satisfied in himself, and I think I'm okay. I don't need the Lord, his grace. And this is what Jesus himself taught. He said, I did not come to call the righteous, people who think they're righteous and good, proud, but I came to call sinners to repentance. That is, people who know themselves to be sinners, who understand the truth that is fundamentally kept away from human beings through the blindness of total depravity, but is penetrated only by Scripture, blessed by the Holy Spirit. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. Oh. And then what is it that sustains the different types of people? The proud, I have some achievements. I have worth of myself. That thought lifts me up. And even if I'm not that good, I'm better than him. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Behold his soul which is lifted up. It's not upright in it. The humble, what sustains the humble, that is those who are abased by God, is faith, which receives strength from God. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And if you ask for examples of the proud man or woman mentioned at the start of our text, well, think first of all of the historical context in Habakkuk. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. The Babylonians. We are conquering the whole of the Middle East, and nobody can stand before us. And even the Jews, whom Habakkuk described in verses 2 through 4 of the first chapter, the violent, the unjust. And then we have too, because Christ speaks of this a lot in the Gospels, the proud man who doesn't believe includes the Pharisees and the leaders and members of the false churches and the false religions. Perhaps most famously here we have Christ's parable of the Pharisee and the publican, or the tax collector, in Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am better than everybody else. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So I'm better than them, and I'm better than them because I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. That's Habakkuk 2 verse 4, the first part of the text. Then the Pharisee, the publican rather, the tax collector, he stands afar off from the temple, and would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Ah, the just shall live by his faith. And then Christ draws out this lesson. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, declared righteous by God, rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased by God, And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted by God. Here is John 5, verse 44, where Jesus makes the point about the antithesis between faith and pride. How can ye believe, faith, how can ye believe, which receive honour one of another, and seek not the honour that cometh from God only? This faith and your pride are incompatible, and they are even impossible. How can you believe? You can't. You can't believe when you're interested in the honour of somebody else. Let's say there's a guy, he hears the gospel. He thinks about Jesus Christ, and then he realizes that this is going to inevitably result in certain people thinking lowly of him. Well, I don't want that. He cannot believe. He's trapped in his sin. Jesus taught that in John 5. We see it also in John 12. This is John 12, 42. Among the chief rulers also many believed in him. And as the passage is going to make clear, it means they realized that he had to be the Christ, did so many miracles. His teaching was so amazing that they couldn't deny it. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. If I believe in Jesus, I'm going to be excommunicated. Just like happened Martin Luther. For, verse 43 continues, they loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. So even though they knew full well Jesus was the Christ, they were proud and wanted people to praise them, and therefore they couldn't believe ethically, spiritually. It was impossible for them. And it's not just the Jews and the Babylonians in Habakkuk's day, or the Pharisees and self-righteous man, because man's religion always teaches earn your way into heaven, that are described in Habakkuk 2, verse 4, the first part. It is also the Greeks and modern sophisticated man. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. What a stupid message. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a man who died on the cross to bear sins of other people so that they believe in him. And that faith in this man 2,000 years ago means you're forgiven. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. They trip over that message. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. And in our day, belief of the Christian religion from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is called explicitly by many intellectual suicide to believe that message. What would my friends think? What would faith in Christ mean for my job, for my career prospects? It might mean a pay cut. It might mean no promotion. And right enough, my job invariably involves sin. I have to work on a Sunday. And it's not a work of necessity or mercy. It's going to mean looking for a new job. I don't want that. And people are going to think I'm a cretin, including all my sophisticated friends. This would mean, belief in Jesus Christ, that I would have to die to myself. Yes, you've got it. Jesus said that except you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Ah, it's beginning to sink in. At least intellectually, you're getting it. This would mean that I would have to get down on my knees and confess my sins to God, and that I'm not the good person that I've told myself I am all my life, that I'm actually described in Romans 3, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Mouth and open sepulchre and all that. And then I'd have to cry out to God for forgiveness. I don't like doing that. I don't even like saying sorry when I knock over the milk at the breakfast table. I'd have to say that. But everyone must die to himself or herself, or they die everlastingly. Habakkuk 2 verse 4, it's echoed in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son, he that believeth on the Son, hath everlasting life, because the just shall live by faith alone. And that is how you and I must live. Amen. Gracious Father, we pray for thy grace to work faith in our hearts and to increase, grow and perfect it. And help us, Lord God, through that faith to understand the truth of thy word and to enjoy the life we have in Jesus, our risen head in heaven. Amen.